What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Christina Vane. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Good. I'm very happy to be able to do this. I saw you with Jeremy Pennell in Newport for the his big album release party. I go there every year. He always hits Newport once a year at least. But I was blown away. We're gonna get more into that. But I guess just to start out, let us know what you've been up to. Busy with shows or recording, writing? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, right now it's definitely the season of writing. I finished touring for the year in like November, or it is November, but the first week in November. And I've just been really trying to get back down and get all my stuff, you know, written so that I could record it eventually, obviously. But so it's a lot of that. Yeah, a lot of catching up on stuff and being a person again. Yeah.
Yeah, right on. Hopefully it's getting maybe a little relaxing now that the year's winding down. I don't really know how that is with artists, but...
Yeah, it's different for everybody. A lot of my friends are still hitting the road really hard. I need some time around this time of year to, like, be creative and rest up, so...
Yeah, right on. But, like I was saying, I saw you with Jeremy, and, yeah, it was... Let's talk a bit about your sound, because it's something that I didn't expect. I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, I've looked up your stuff. I'm like, all right, I rock with it. And I was blown away.
Thank you.
I'm from Kentucky, so bluegrass, you know, you already got me there. So, and then the blues mix is what I kind of want to talk about. It's very unique. It's very like fresh. I think there's not a lot of, at least to my knowledge, I don't know a lot of artists that sound like you do, quite frankly. And I guess just to start, if you want to give us kind of the lowdown on, I don't want to just ask you your inspiration, that's pretty broad, but like what brought you to kind of blending those two, Americana too, like what, how'd you really craft your sound?
My sound is just kind of a reflection of all the things that I think have really captured my attention at different points in my life. So when I was growing up, I was really into like rock and rock based genres like punk and metal and heavy stuff, but also really into songwriting, Bon Iver, indie, all the stuff of the time. So like a really wide mix of things. And in some ways I've just almost feel as though the song is more important than the genre. And like, if you write a good song, you can dress it up in different ways. You can make it more country sounding or more bluegrass, depending on instrumentation. But I didn't grow up listening to bluegrass or old time. So when I got into it later, you know, I was writing on the banjo because I love playing the banjo. And it just is a reflection of where these songs were being written. So that's kind of how the sound has evolved. Obviously, when I moved to Nashville as well, I didn't know hardly anything about country music. I still would argue I don't, but I love, you know, classic, that like Hank Sr. and stuff like that. And when I got schooled here in Nashville and got to hear great country music and be around it, a little bit of that has seeped into my music too. So, but then I have still some really heavy influences that I like, and I don't know how much they come through, but you know, they're there sometimes. So I think it's just being selfish, like not wanting to choose, not wanting to have to box it in just to like make sense. I figure there are a lot of really talented people out there that play different instruments and have songs that kind of exist outside the exact category of genre, which is a whole nother conversation anyway. Genre is like such a made up thing in some ways that it's really hard sometimes to work with that. So yeah, I try not to worry too much, but it does confuse everybody and, you know, that's not great.
Well, I mean, like I think we're in a time now, any music sphere, like genre, I don't think matters anymore. Used to maybe, but like now it's just like everyone's doing their own thing. Kind of like you said, people are trying different things and I love it. A lot of people don't, but you know, that's up to them, I guess. But I'd say we're in a pretty good spot with that, though, like when it comes to like the audience and accepting that kind of thing, at least hopefully.
Yeah, there are purists in every genre, and I just am not one of them. I mean, I just think you never know what speaks to people about music. Sometimes like horribly recorded, out of tune, terrible singers, but something about the way they're singing or the words or something, you know, it connects with people. And I have lots of artists that I love that on paper might be whatever. And that's not even talking about genre, but then if you get these people that are being like, well, that's not blues music. I'm like, I don't really care, honest. No. I just don't really care. I mean, there are things, you know, if you're a traditional musician or if you're trying to preserve the tradition of a genre, sure, it's like important to discuss what those things are. That's not what I'm doing, so I don't worry too much about it.
Yeah, and you shouldn't. And it's funny, just like before we move on from that whole thing, like it's kind of funny how you have people who think that way, but then on the opposite end of it, the purists are also never happy either with like, oh, like Greta, I love Greta Van Fleet. And they got a lot of heat when they came out for sounding exactly like Led Zeppelin. And you got those, you know, the old heads, people say. And like, they're like, it's just like Led Zeppelin. It's like, okay, let's say they are just like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
what's
like
wrong
Led
with
Zeppelin.
That? Who doesn't want more Led Zeppelin? But
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, there's funny. A fine line between being like derivative and being traditional in some ways, I guess. And it's not for me to really say what that line is. But yeah, I think if you have a strong voice in the music you're creating, it's bound to be somewhat unique. And that's not to say that, you know, things that sound like other things don't have a strong voice. Like stuff always sounds, you know, like something else, because we all get our influences from somewhere. But I try and just make sure that it's like me and my writing and things I like come through. And I think those are a unique enough mix of things, because everybody's got so many specific influences and moments and riffs that they like and tone that they like, you know, that that's what makes music kind of sound like the person that's writing it or playing it.
Yeah, exactly. And you also mentioned Nashville, which you are based out of, correct? And the more I'm not from Nashville, but I make my way down there a lot. And the more I've done that, because like when I think of Nashville before I really went down there, it's like, okay, country music. But the more I go down, it's like, no, that has like everything. And there are plenty of issues with Nashville for sure that I've heard of and everything. Oh, yeah. But I don't think you could argue that it's not diverse. You know, like I see a lot of rock groups out there, like everything really.
Oh, yeah. Nashville has a lot of great stuff. For
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. It's just it is Music City.
Yeah.
You know, and that name doesn't even necessarily come from country music. It comes from the Jubilee singers. So it's always been Music City before the honky tonks, I think.
Right on. Yeah, for sure. And I wanted to kind of go into a bit with, because you are from Europe, right? Like that's where you were born and everything. So your sound, which I keep saying your sound, but obviously we just talked about it's everything, which is awesome. But the Americana aspect, I'll go with that. Surely, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like that can't be big in Europe, right? Americana?
You're wrong.
Okay,
you're
good.
Wrong.
Good.
I mean, I'm a little bit, so I think the backstory that's important to mention here is that I am half American. My father's American. Okay. So I grew up in Europe, was born and raised there. My mom is Guatemalan. They met in the United States. So I'm familiar with American culture. Even growing up, we would go see family in the United States, you know, for holidays and stuff like that. So, and I went to American schools. But there were certain things that totally missed me, like bluegrass. I mean, even in the United States, there are some places, if you grew up, you're probably not going to play bluegrass or hear it.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of niche.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, like, you know, then the blues too. I mean, in Europe, people love the blues and jazz, all that stuff. In fact, historically, it's been more friendly to the musicians making that music. You know, that's why like they came over in the 20s. A lot of black musicians came over to Europe because they received a lot better treatment, ironically, in Europe. So like, even historically, but yeah, even to this day, I wouldn't know, because I'm not one of those artists selling out every room in Europe. I just started touring in Europe after having lived here for 14 years, like pretty recently. So, but the enthusiasm is totally there. I think because things that are different are really interesting. You know what I mean? And American culture has, I think, always been fascinating to Europeans, even if they deny it. Like, I remember in Paris growing up, like people wearing Lakers jerseys, and you know, McDonald's is kind of, it's all like exotic almost. Even the way the sidewalks look here. I remember when I moved here, I was like, everything's just so American. It's so different. So there, I think Europeans, you know, love American culture and music. It's just sometimes there are other cultural things that clash. Obviously, we all know the stereotypes, but like, there is apparently a pretty big market for this stuff. They really appreciate the blues, I can say at least for sure. And I know a lot of my bluegrass friends go over there and play festivals. Is the scene as big? Probably not. No, definitely not, especially bluegrass. But you know, yeah, I think there's a lot of cool stuff to be done over there.
Yeah, and it is really like fascinating. I mean, it's kind of like in plain sight too. You mentioned how the blues, and I guess you could also just say rock and roll, like when that was really kicking off. I mean, the British Invasion, I mean, they all loved blues, aka rock and roll, everything like that. So it's always had like a cool little, never thought of it that way. Always had a cool little connection there.
Yeah, totally.
I was talking, I had Tommy Prine on here a couple weeks ago, and we were kind of talking about how right now there has been a big swing in the, let's just say for broad term, the country music, you know, scene in general. I feel like there's a big swing towards like that rootsy Americana. Even there's like bluegrass stuff that's like just now starting to kind of go mainstream, if I could even say that. Like, do you see that at all from your point of view, like as an artist, especially in a place like Nashville? Do you see that kind of popping off more and more eyeballs being directed towards it?
In some, it's really hard to tell because Nashville is so insular that like your whole world becomes bluegrass, and there's so many subgroups and like the jamgrass scene, and you know, country within country, there's trap and the modern stuff versus like the honky tonk classic singers or western swing, and there's so many talented people in all these areas that like I don't have any effing idea what's going on, honestly. I mean, I feel like when I think of artists like Ciara Ferrell or whatever getting to the limelight and putting in things like the banjo and stuff like that, that's really awesome. But that's been done. I mean, Sufjan Stevens, you know, there are a lot of people that have played around with making contemporary sounding music, but with roots instruments or roots heritage or whatever. So I don't really know. I'm sorry, I don't have a really good answer. Like
It's fine.
I don't, I try not to like concern myself too much with that. I do remember being told like country was really in by people very detached from this scene. Like in Europe, actually, I remember this manager guy being like, country's really in right now. Beyonce this and Beyonce that. And I'm like, in my daily life and the audiences that we're already playing to, most people are already either, you know, familiar with the blues or familiar with country or bluegrass or these more, you know, a niche American genres. So like to me, I'm like, oh, old news, you know. But if that is happening, I think it's a good thing. Like that's great. More eyeballs on roots music is good news for me because I don't make pop music. So not that there's anything wrong with that. I love pop music. I just, you know, the stuff I make doesn't sound like that. So
Yeah, and it is funny because like I think it's always been there, and I'm just thinking like blues, bluegrass, and it's just a lot of people think it's a new thing, and it's just like no, it's like it
I
evolves
think,
maybe, but yeah.
well, I think what, that's what I mean is like also all of us, our reality is curated by like our feeds and stuff and what we're seeing a lot of. But I am really heartened to see like a night with the 90s fashion and all that stuff, some like a lot of grunge resurgence. And as a big grunge person, hearing like young people, young, I am young, I guess, but younger people covering like Alice in Chains or whatever. Like I've been listening to a lot of Tool recently and just like I love that. And it's, I don't think rock is coming back or anything like that, but I'm hopeful that there's going to be soon an era of like Jimi Hendrix is really hot. Like that's what all, you know, the viral videos are people like ripping guitar or something. I don't think that's like ever going to be the case for Delta Blues or the more, the super niche things like that. I think you get it if you get it with those ones, but yeah, I don't know.
100%. It is funny you say that there is like, that's a thing I just kind of noticed too, because I love grunge too, and seeing like there's like a whole community called New Grunge, and it's just like in you, kind of like nu metal was. And like, it's just kind of funny to see that all develop. And I don't know, it just connects, I guess. I really don't get it. I mean, it connects with me, but the younger guys.
Who has not been an angry teenager, yeah, or exactly. 20-year-old or 30-year-old? But like, especially when you're young and you're looking for like that feeling, is there anything better than like an unhinged man or woman screaming, you know, and you're just like, yeah! That shit is awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I love to talk about live shows. I think live shows, in my opinion, are like one of the most important things for a fan to connect at first with an artist, you know, like kind of like how I did with your music and any other like new artists I discovered recently. It was like from a live show. First off, how would you describe your live show?
Well, I typically play with a trio, like two other people and me. I have toured solo, though, for a very long time. So to a lot of people, probably, you know, they might have seen me solo. And I still do that a lot as an opener, because it kind of gets back to what I was saying. I just think it's about the song. And of course, I like to present it in the way that I imagine, which often includes a full band. But honestly, I stand by my songs enough to believe that they can be performed solo too. But yeah, I it's like people call it blues trio or rock trio. You know, there's drums and bass. I play guitar. I play my two guitars. And I also have a portion of my set where I play banjo. And so then the feel of things kind of goes a little bluegrassy. But the drums and the bass stay in there. And I try and just, you know, I used to try and include a cover pretty much every set, like at least one really old pre-war blues thing, or, you know, a nod to one of my guitar heroes. That doesn't always happen so much anymore, because now I have 3 albums of songs to, like, you know, put out there, and just put the album out this year. So trying to play all those songs, and yeah. But slide guitar and like Travis picking, and then full on rock sometimes too, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seemed like to me watching. And that is the cool thing with you guys, is because it is so different. I mean, when I saw, like you said, 3 guitars get put up there, one of them's a banjo. I mean, it's just like, okay, I don't know what I'm in for here, but it's good to kick ass for sure. But but like, I'm kind of curious as to, because obviously every aspect in being a musician is important, writing, obviously, like everything is, to, you know, respectfully. But with the live show, I'm kind of curious. Obviously, you guys put a lot into it, because, you know, I've seen it with my own 2 eyes. But how important is the live show when you do compare it to like other aspects to being a musician?
Oh, man, that's really, really, really this. I am not, disclaimer, I'm not speaking for every musician. This is my personal feelings about it. But I know that when pandemic happened, it is different to make music in your room than it is to make music and then share it. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean everyone likes to share their music or whatever. But for me, that's a really important part of why I find music almost healing. It's one thing when it's healing for me in my room and I feel like I got something out. But there's something much deeper that happens when I can show a stranger sometimes, or someone, that feeling or that song or that moment, and they feel something, and it's helpful to them even in some way. So without that, it just kind of sucks. Like, I not, you know, I'll always be a musician whether I play live or not. If you took it away from me, which they did, you know, literally, I am still a musician. But that is a huge part of the experience of my life and of my career as well. And right now, at least, I really enjoy that. I think it's really like the point on some level. Songs, I've been thinking about this. I got a little sappy with it, because it's true that songs are so important. It's like the backdrop of people's lives. And we don't like often really, really think about it, and think about, you know, famous songs and how many people have kissed to them or had their wedding dance or, you know, funeral choice, or things that like you associate memories with these. So what you're doing when you put music out, even if you never get to tour, is already amazing, because you might provide that moment or that song for someone, even one person. I think that's really important. But when you are also able to tour, you get to like give them, and also like a live like memory to take home. And I remember my first concerts. I remember wanting to do that, you know, and not everyone's going to want to be a musician, but I think we allow a space for people to like really get away for an hour and just go with their friends, whether you're young or old, whatever kind of music. Yeah, not to get too cosmic with it, but I think it's important. And I think, you know, I like it a lot. I think that's a big part of how I, what I find fulfilling about being a musician.
Yeah. And as a fan, when it comes to like connecting to a song, which you were kind of hitting on there, like it, just as a fan, like that's like a crazy moment. Like when you're listening to a song and like the words just all start to make sense and it's like, wow, I lived through this. And like, it's kind of a nuts thing. And have you had those experiences on the other side of it as an artist? Like when someone, maybe a complete stranger or one of your friends or anyone's like, yeah, that was like about me, like kind of thing. And it's because writing music, I mean, that's like such a personal thing. I feel like it is, like, and then you have to, then you put it out there. So it has to be super fulfilling when like a stranger is like, yeah, that's exactly what I've been through or whatnot.
Yeah. And you know, what I've realized with the way the beauty of music and poetry and anything, like even if you remember an English class and you're like dissecting what this metaphor of the elephant in the story is, I'm making this up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes maybe that author or artist told someone this elephant means this and they wrote it down or they made it clear. Other times you're just kind of inferring.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. Like if someone listens to my song and sometimes it's not what it sounds like, or it's about maybe a non-romantic partner or a friend or something, but it sounds kind of like it's a romantic situation. But if that person like connects with it, I don't think it matters. And I think that's also part of the mystique. You always wish you could sit down with your favorite artist and ask them, you know, what exactly does this line mean? I never understood. So people are just going to have to guess, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's hilarious you bring that up. That's like my favorite part of English class is like when they like, they leave it up to you. The teacher's like, all right, this is, raise your hand.
And you're like, it could be anything. Are we really doing this right now? And they're like, yeah, like, what does this symbolize? And you're like, but sometimes it really is, right? Sometimes there are literary things at work that that person knowingly put in there because they're trying to do something clever, you know? And that's what's cool about songwriting. It's the same thing. You know, sometimes it's so personal that you're reading it wrong. Other times it is just like wordsmith crafted and you get it and it speaks right to you too, you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know.
When you look at when you first started out writing lyrics and stuff like that and poetry or whatever you started out with, do you find it a lot easier, I guess, with yourself? Let me start over. When you write music, mm-hmm. like with it being such a personal thing, I would feel like, and I'm not a professional musician, but I would feel like that could be hard to want to release at first, at least. Like, man, I don't know if this is going to connect, blah, blah, blah. But I would assume you just, as you go on and keep writing and writing and releasing music, it has to be kind of like an afterthought at that point. Like, what was that process like for you?
Yeah, it is funny how some of the songs actually on my, like, latest record, I remember I wrote You Ain't Special in real time, in the sense that if you listen to the song, it's like a diss track essentially. But I didn't like sit down and be like, I want to write a fun little song. I like the morning after having a negative experience with someone, you know, sat down with my guitar, like, which is unusual actually. I like didn't do any, I think I got a glass of water and I sat down and started writing this song. And it was in real time. It's like sitting on my steps, you know, thinking how XYZ. That's rare. It's awesome when that happens. But even that song, like I wrote it and then I was like, I don't think that's like a song I'm going to put out. Not because it's too mean or too personal, but it didn't feel serious almost. It's a very like happy sounding, rhymey song. And I was like, I don't know. I just needed to write it. I just need to get it out. So I remember playing it for my band and they're like, oh, that's catchy. Like that would totally work. Another song on my album, Lost You in the Mountains, similar, but for different reasons, I wrote this song and it like doesn't have a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, is this song just allowed to exist like this? Because I don't want to write. It doesn't need. I don't want it to go there. I'm trying to do something kind of like All Them Witches or some of that droney, like heavy stoner metal stuff, where it doesn't need to have a chorus. And I like asked, you know, my bandmates and my producer, and they're all like, "No, if I think it's awesome the way it is." So sometimes I need a little like push. But I have recently realized it's just about, it's about the songs. Like, it's not about whether they're going to sell well or be appealing or hurt someone's feel. I mean, you don't want to hurt people's feelings, but it sucks because we live in a capitalist machine and we live in reality, and I want things to be successful and go well, just like everybody else, like including my managers. I'm like, sorry, managers. But I also just think if I could choose, I would just put everything out, like as much of my stuff, even if they're not perfect songs or if they're not as good as the other ones. And the process isn't like that. It's like we have to filter down to the good ones, you know, and try and make an album, which makes sense. But there's a lot of other stuff that, so I don't know. I don't know if that kind of answers your question.
It does. And while we're on the topic of the album, which came back out, that was like back in February. So it's been a little while, but I'm still going to talk about it. And this is a broad question, so I apologize, but just so if someone hasn't listened to it yet and might want to know what they're getting into, how would you describe any like a theme behind it or any kind of backstory, anything like that?
Well, you're asking two different things. If they wanted to like know what they're going to listen to, we could use a lot of the things we said, you know, blue, there's going to be slide guitar, kind of a country blues feel, but it's actually pretty rock oriented. There's some straight up like kind of strokes sounding rock stuff. There's that heavy song, but then there's some finger picking songs and some banjo songs. But your other question, which is more interesting in some ways, is like what the theme or the thesis of the album is. And I have never had, I mean, that's not true. I guess they've all kind of come from stuff. With this last one, though, it was like around this time, a few years ago now, because a lot of those songs I had sat on and it took a while to get out. But I had just started to feel a shift in my relationship with, like, I'm trying to think of the right word, with place in some ways, which has always been really difficult for me. But being in Nashville, I had been very much in student observer mode of like, teach me, because there's so much to learn about all these things and cultures and music and food and dressing that I think I forgot about my own. Not that, you know, it's under attack or anything, but I found myself always absorbing and not often, maybe also because I had some complexes about where I was from and I felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb and like, you know, just had. And so as those things fell away, as you get older, as you like yourself more, as you get more comfortable, I was like reconnecting with a lot of old music from my teenage years, with old journals, kind of swinging out of like dressing like a prairie girl, cowgirl, and into like more what I would normally wear, because it's fun to experiment with stuff. And when you move here, Western wear is so cool. I love the culture, you know. So it's like all of this kind of came back to like what about all the other stuff, I guess, because, you know, it's easy to put a cowboy hat on and like play the banjo and people assume a lot of things and associate a lot of things with that. But that's not all of my story. I do play banjo and I love cowboy hats and I love country music. But I also really love distorted guitars and punk music and X, Y, and Z, right? So just trying to let that come out if it wanted to, and also kind of really getting back to like, what do I want to wear? What do I want to be like? And all the iconography of the album is all from like European churches, because I was home with my family and thinking about that and thinking about like, well, what about my home? And I hear about the Smoky Mountains all the time, but I come from the Alps, which are also mountains, and I want to write about those mountains. And so there's a lot of songs about that on the album. So it's kind of this kind of return to self, and just like, it doesn't mean I don't like Nashville or Americana culture, anything like that. It was just remembering that I have things in my life that have made me who I am, that I act, that are really interesting, even if they're not like those things. They're very different, some of them, but they're also worthy of mentioning, worthy of writing about, worthy of, yeah, all that.
Yeah, it's actually super interesting that you describe it that way, because, and I'm not just saying this because you just told me, but like when I did first listen to it, it did feel like kind of like you said, like a place, but like a unique place to like to a culture was a good one too. Like it felt like this is like what she is, where she's from. This is what she's about.
Oh my
about.
Gosh, wait, that's yeah. so cool. I'm glad you felt that way.
And I think that's what stuck out so much to me. And also, obviously, I'm a big punk metal guy too. So like, I love the mute, like that, the instrumental aspect to it too, of course. But like, it really
Yeah, there are no punk or metal songs on this album, to be very clear. People will be disappointed yeah. if they go listen and they'll be like, what the fuck? But it's in here, you know,
yes,
it's in
yes.
here and in my aesthetic and in some of the choices I make musically.
That's yeah, but and it's awesome, and I was blown away by it. That's crazy that's how you described it, because I couldn't figure out the words to describe it, but you just did it right there. So that's awesome.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah.
But Christina, thanks a lot for hopping on. This is a lot of fun. But before we go, anything you could tell us about maybe some new music, dates coming up, anything you want. The floor is yours.
Mostly just keep an eye out next year. I'm doing a lot more headlining stuff, which is really fun. And that means, you know, you have to let people know about those shows because they're not just a festival. So yeah, next year's gonna be real jam-packed and I'm stoked, so keep an eye out.
That's awesome. And also any websites, socials where people could find you and connect with you, anything like that?
Yeah, I'm on all the socials. Christina has no H in it. So Christina, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, and then vein, like a weather vane, if you don't, for some reason, have the screen in front of your eyeballs. that's how you would spell it, Christina Vein Music.
Right on. Like I said, Christina, thanks for hopping on. I'm really glad we could do this. You guys make sure to follow Christina and check out her stuff, especially that last album. It was fantastic. You guys also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Just Google us. We'll show up. So thanks, guys, for listening. Christina, thank you. We'll see you guys next time.
My boots would look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night. So why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?